Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, John Martin joins us in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Sadly, no Sam Hardiman. I got to presume he is off preparing for the Stanley Cup Finals, Jeffrey. Don't you assume he's off preparing for the Stanley Cup Finals? Are you excited about, let me ask you this. Which are you more enthusiastic about? The NBA Finals or the NHL Stanley Cup Finals?
I am more excited to watch the Stanley Cup final.
By the way, I say this all the time. People don't care about hockey here. And I do fundamentally think that's true. I saw a kid the other day walking into a Target with a Forsberg jersey on, a Preds Forsberg jersey on. That was good. But I don't think people... What percentage of Memphians who care about sports? Okay, I'm not going to say Memphians because there's some people who literally don't know a damn thing.
Yeah,
right. I was in the office the other day at the Daily Memphian, and they were asking someone who works on the desk about what's the name of the team from Buffalo or something like that, right? And it was a, I think she finally got it, but like it was, you know, there's some people who just don't care, right? Like whatever, they just don't give a flip. So, but of the people who care about sports, how many people or what percent could tell you who's in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I would venture to say probably like 1 in 5, so around.
Could even tell you who's in.
Yeah. Because I think you got to also remember this. We're now, like when everyone talks about, oh, we're getting so... We're separating more, like, nationally. What also sports fans are doing is sports fans are, like, bunkering in of, like, this is, like, we're now watching more sports.
Well, and people do pick and choose. They just do. Like, there are people, I can't tell you what's happening in European soccer, right? I just don't, who's playing, it's not something I pay attention to. It's just not something that I pay attention to.
Well, they're also kind of now in the offseason.
I sometimes think, well, there was a massive match over the weekend.
The Champions League final.
It was a Champions League final. It was a total rout. It was disappointing. But did I know who was in it before? No, did not.
PSG beat Inter Milan.
And that is, because it was 5-0?
5-0.
5-0.
The other thing, though, that I thought was so striking about that, so in the aftermath, there was all the celebrations with deaths. And it was just like so casual, like it was like almost built in. Like, well, of course, you know, as this was expected.
Well, I mean, there are people who care about that who must think, my God, you don't even know who was in the Champions League, like what a final, like what a, you know. And I think a lot of people would feel the same way about the Stanley Cup final. Like, what if you don't pay attention to it? You don't pay attention to it. Why would you know that it's the Oilers and the Panthers?
There are some similarities between soccer fans and hockey fans in the aggressiveness of how dare you.
You think hockey fans have dare you?
Oh, very much online.
I don't. I acknowledge that most of the country doesn't give a flip, as that's my view about hockey. In fact, I sometimes wonder why I care as much as I do. Like, everyone else is happily going along.
There's a lot of
a flip.
amongst hockey fans and even former hockey players, there's a lot of like passive aggressiveness towards NBA. Like, these guys are soft, they don't play.
The hockey take that I completely disagree with, that you hear all the time, and I completely disagree with it, is it's a terrible TV game. It's great in person. It is great in person. I think hockey is better in person. I actually think the NBA is better in person. I think college football in some ways is better in person, if you like the fall or all. But, like, I think we're kind of believing that the NFL is better on TV.
I think the NFL is the only sport that you can safely say it is a better television product than it is in-person experience.
But the reason that you – how about golf? They're so wildly different.
So I think you could make a case in the sense of, if you are trying to follow a tournament and you're trying to keep up
– TV's definitely better.
TV's 100%
better.
But – there is something about when you actually see
how... It's more. That's a totally different experience.
Correct.
Because it is, you play this game, you play on the same courses and whatever, and you just can't... And you want to see these greats play because you play it.
Right.
That's not how we relate to football.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, I couldn't make that throw in a million years. That's not how we think about football, right? So, But what I disagree with on hockey is people say that the only people who say that don't like hockey. They don't know anything about hockey. And so for them, yes, in person, they see these collisions and whatever.
Well, it's how fast it is.
And it's all because you can't follow the puck. That's what I said, because you can't follow the puck. Let me ask you this. When you're in golf, you can't follow the golf ball. In baseball, you can't follow the baseball. You know it because you see the way it hits the bat. You see the outfielders move. You've watched baseball your whole life. So you understand that even though at every moment you're not actually watching the ball, that, you know, the ball may disappear fleetingly, you understand it because you understand the geometry of the game. And so it translates perfectly well to TV. It might be better in person to watch baseball, but it translates perfectly well, even though you can't see the ball, even though you can't see the golf ball, whatever else. And the same thing isn't true in hockey. If you understand hockey, you're not like, oh my God, I can't see the puck when you're watching it on TV. You understand because you understand the game and the geometry of the game, where it's gone. And by the way, this is a dramatically better, it should shapes up to be a dramatically better championship than the NBA. It is, I think the Panthers are going to win because I think they're unbelievably good and balanced and physical and have a whole bunch of...
Have you seen the new hockey take?
No.
The Panthers have an unfair advantage because there's no income tax in Florida.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. The Sabres GM has been complaining about it. What do you expect? He literally had a press conference as they had lost, whatever, 17 in a row or something. What do you expect?
State income tax.
Palm trees. We don't have palm trees and we got taxes. That's not what you want to hear from your GM.
Not great.
Anyway, and so you got the Panthers, defending champion, tough, physical, mean team, against Connor McDavid, the best player in the world.
Well,
and one of the all-time greats who has not won a cup, and they were close last year. They're back again. And
against
can
the
they
same
finally,
team.
Against the same, a rematch, and you're literally watching the best player in the world, one of the best players in the history of hockey, going up against what looks kind of like a possible dynasty kind of team at
I think there's another narrative that I think is interesting and people have at least caught on to. Like, McDavid is the new leader of Team Canada, and Tkachuk is the leader of Team USA.
Funny though. There was a survey. Whatever, you get these emails about, you know, what percentage is of here you go. Who is rooting for the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup? According to betonline.ag, all of Canada.
Yeah, obviously.
And what percentage of the U.S.?
I'm going to say like 25%.
84% of the U.S. All of Canada and 84% of
U.S. Do you think part of this, though, is because the Panthers are that physical brute team, like they piss a lot of people off?
I think people don't like the Panthers. Yeah, I think people fundamentally, and I think people actually, to the extent that they think about the stick they
think
about.
I think McDavid's legitimately popular.
I think McDavid's legitimately popular. Anyway, I don't know how we got onto this.
We're comparing it to the finals.
Yeah, and who knows? The other finals could turn out to be great, but like the odds that SGA is going to win the MVP are astronomical. Like he is. I don't see how anyone else wins the MVP because they're going to win, and if they win, he's going to win the MVP.
I guess the only pushback I would give to you is I still have no idea how Halliburton didn't win the Eastern Conference MVP.
Yes, but there was – Siakam scored more points, didn't he?
He had slightly more points, but Halliburton had more rebounds and assists.
But there is no – there's sort of a Batman and Robin on that team. At least you can make an argument.
You and I would not have thought that Mr. Entrepreneur, Thought Leader, Andre Iguodala, Winemaker, Innovator.
You tell me what other Thunder is going to win.
I mean, you could talk me into like Jalen Williams has big games and like whatnot, or Chet has big
games.
They're
so driven by.
But I do tend to agree with you.
And in the way that Halliburton drives, they're both driven by their stars, star guards, right? But the way Halliburton drives his team creates opportunities for other players to put up points.
Yes.
The way that SGA drives his team just creates more points for SGA. The way he drives it is points. And so unless he gets hurt, I don't think anyone else is winning MVP. And who knows? Maybe
it's -600 to your point.
Yeah. So there you go. Did I mention that today we have John Martin coming up in the next segment? And then we have Chris Harrington, and then we're going to do this new what is new is old again. We're going to bring back our Take Five. This may be a daily occurrence during the summer. Before we get to the Tim Thibodeau news,
easy for you to say.
There was news from Memphis and car theft news. So you want the good news or you want the bad news?
Bad news first.
Okay. And even this you could argue is good news. We're second in car thefts in 2024. Second. Did you see the story yet?
No. Have we improved? Were we one last
year?
Well,
first of all, we're going to get to the overall ranking. Per 100,000,
yep,
we had 700.
Per capita.
What?
Per capita.
Per capita. We had 715 cars stolen per 100,000 people, okay? So the question is this. Who is number one? I was stunned by number one. Maybe not stunned. I was surprised.
Miami?
It's some narrative. Not Miami. I'll tell you this. We'll say west of the Mississippi.
L.A.?
Not L.A. San Francisco.
Yeah, okay.
Do they even have cars out there? Don't they? Aren't they all driving around in those automatic cars?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, 764 car thefts per 100,000 people, and Memphis was at 715 per 100,000 people. And by the way, this is from, no one believes any data anymore, and whatever. I don't know what they believe or not, but this sounds like a reasonable outfit that they're using. It's the National Insurance Crime Bureau. So it basically...
Yeah, no, I've always thought...
It's insurance companies. This is insurance companies.
That's who I've always said.
So I kind of believe it. That's the bad news, but also the good news. We're not number one.
Yeah. Right?
That's good. We're not number one. But that's also the bad news. We're number two. We don't want to be number two.
No, we
want to be number 22.
No.
Right? Let's aim for 22.
We want to be last.
But the numbers are... Remarkably down. In 2024, from 2023, we had 16,062 cars stolen. In 2024, 9,865 cars stolen.
Is this from the same?
Same people.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's
so from 16,000 to 9,000.
Still an insane number, but yes.
Still an insane number. And this year, we are down another 35%.
All right.
I mean, that's good, right?
Listen, we can't just act like when you do have, when someone, you're making some progress, like, let's keep it rolling. Like, I'm a big believer
No, absolutely.
Let's see the ball go through the net and keep it going.
And by the way, no one who says, who wants to applaud progress, at least none of us, I'll just speak for myself. When I do that, I'm not saying it's not a problem.
Right.
But you can hold those two thoughts in your head at the same time. This is a problem, but it isn't nice. We're working on the problem. It's just like if you're if you weigh 275 pounds, right? If you weigh 275 pounds and you start to work out and exercise a little and diet and whatever, watch what you eat, whatever, and then all of a sudden you weigh 245 pounds and you're 5'2", okay? And this is, no one would say that, hey, you should, you're done, 245 pounds. But my God, you're headed in the right direction. Keep it up, baby. Keep it up, baby. And so that was good. It was yesterday I talked to the Collierville Rotary Club. And I got to say this about the Collierville Rotary Club, by the way. Rotary clubs they feel like a thing from the 50s and the 60s, right?
They definitely feel like a bygone era.
Like, once upon a time, people would stop and they'd go to their civic club for lunch, whether it was Rotary or Kiwanis or Optimist or whatever the club.
Knights of Columbus, right?
Whatever the club is, you'd have your lunches and there'd be a speaker and people would talk, whatever. And then, honestly, the Downtown Rotary Club, when I would speak at Downtown Rotary, there'd be 250 people there. It would be at the ballroom in the Peabody, and it was a big deal. If you got invited to speak to Downtown Rotary, you were talking to the movers and shakers. It was a big deal. And sadly, like so many things, the glue that has – it's just part of the glue that held our community together. I think newspapers were another thing. We all read the same newspapers, and so that was part of the – glue that held our community together. Churches obviously play a role in that, and local schools and whatnot. But people just said, you know what? I'd rather work out at lunch, or I'd rather have a power. I'd like to have a power bar and whatever, and work out, or I'd rather just what. And it sort of started dwindling, and the Rotary clubs that I go to generally are much smaller. They are absolutely killing it at Collierville Rotary. Absolutely killing it. They inducted 5 new members yesterday. It's a wildly lively, entertaining group. The guy I was sitting next to said that if you want to be, relevant in Collierville, you join Collierville Rotary. So it was great, because I do believe that it matters that we connect with each other.
No,
in life,
I think,
you know what I mean. It matters.
I do think last few years we've recognized like community is lacking.
Yeah. Community, I think so. And so there's all sorts of different things. Like there's at Victory Bicycle Shop,
yep.
They do a couch to 50 and a couch to 100 mile bike rides. And the people who come out to do the couch to 50, which just started this past weekend, it's just great. It's old people, it's young people, it's black people, it's white people, it's Latina people. It's like, it's just great. And it's community exists in all kinds of ways, but I do think it matters. And so it was great to be out there yesterday at Collierville Rotary. But one of the things I said is one of my pet peeves is that people are so it's not that we should stick our head in the sand when we're faced with bad news and when we're faced with problems that are facing the city. But it's the joy. Like when Kash Patel said, the head of the FBI, said the other week that Memphis is the murder capital of the world, which is, some people argue, depending on whatever, maybe we're one, maybe we're five. It's just like this car stuff, right? Like maybe St. Louis is one, maybe Memphis is one, maybe New Orleans is one, maybe DC, whatever it is. And depending on what numbers you're looking at. So it's actually not entirely clear that they are number, but it doesn't matter. Like it's a problem. If you're number one, number two, number three, it doesn't really matter. It's a problem. What I objected to, it felt like half of my Facebook friends couldn't wait to retweet that as confirmation of what a hellhole this place is. And I just don't understand what we gain from that. I don't really understand what as opposed to trying to lift up the city, trashing the city at every turn, I don't understand what that does. I don't think it helps, whether you live in Collierville or Bartlett or wherever. I don't think it helps if St. Jude has a hard time recruiting doctors, or if FedEx has a hard time recruiting executives, or if Rhodes and the University of Memphis have a hard time getting students to come here or whatever. And obviously the biggest thing is to deal with the problem, but also just trashing the place you live because you enjoy trashing it, going out of your way to amplify the bad. It's why a lot of times I really do try to amplify the good. It's why I wanted to write about Central High and their jazz band. Like, spend as much energy amplifying the good and vigor as you do amplifying the bad, and I think we would be a whole lot better off. And that was part of my message to Cairo Rotary yesterday. Okay, onward to the world of sports, Jeffrey.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tom Thibodeau fired. Let's just get your good decision, bad decision.
I guess where I netted out was it's weird that it was somewhat expected, because when I saw the Ringer had the story, not the Ringer, beg your pardon, when I saw that the Athletic had the story up on Saturday, basically like seconds after they had lost, about everything that went wrong, it's like the uh-oh, a lot of people are talking, and it's usually a good indicator of they're trying to push him out. And so I wasn't all that surprised. I think you can sit there and say, like, it feels like Tibbs is very good at getting your team to kind of maximize what you've got, but there's clearly a ceiling. Like, you bump up at a certain point and it just runs its course. And it felt like to me like they were close to that point.
So you think fundamentally good decision?
Yeah, I'd say fundamentally thumbs up, whatever.
You're fundamentally thumbs up. Unlike you, I was surprised. I certainly thought it was under consideration, but I was surprised. It felt like to me like the universe was surprised. Whoa! It seemed like the reaction on social media. And boo, those are two reactions on social media, and not just from fans, but also from people who write about and think about this. It seemed like it was deemed pretty unpopular fundamentally.
I think most people thought it felt knee jerk.
Certainly Stephen A. Smith was ripping it and others, whatever. So, my view is the odds of this looking good are, I don't think it'll probably look good. It will likely look like a bad decision, but for the following reason: that the only way it can look like a good decision is if they get at least to an Eastern Conference Finals. They have to, in order, if you're firing him because losing to the Pacers in NBA Finals, because losing to the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals is not good enough and not maxing out, the only way you can prove that it was the right decision is at least go to an NBA Finals. This is, to me, pass-fail. Like, how it will be perceived is pass-fail. If he doesn't take this team to an NBA Finals, the next coach, it will be like, well, why the hell did you fire Thibodeau? Like, Thibodeau did that. Yep. He can do that. I don't think whether Thibodeau is coming back or a new coach, they were likely to get to the NBA Finals, right? It's hard to get to the NBA Finals, and they're one of the good teams in the East, and the East is probably going to be diminished next year. But still, they're not more likely than not to get the NBA Finals next year, are they?
Well, the thing that makes it complicated for me is, like, what's the Boston situation next year?
That's true, but you got Cleveland, you got other teams, you got Indiana still. You wouldn't say, bet yes or no, will they be in the NBA Finals next year?
Yeah, I'd bet no.
Everyone. Yeah. I mean, the odds of any, like, unless maybe the Thunder. I'd probably bet the Thunder might be in the NBA Finals, but even that, like, who knows? Injuries, whatever can happen.
We all would have bet Boston to be back in the finals.
Yeah. So I think the only way this looks like a good decision is if they get to the NBA Finals, and it's very hard, and they're unlikely to get to the NBA Finals. They're also not an overwhelmingly talented roster. So I think we'll look back at this and say, that was stupid. But I don't know that it was stupid. I actually push back against this idea that what I heard overwhelmingly yesterday, that it was stupid. And, of course, part of the problem is you can look at Dwayne Casey gets fired, Nick Nurse wins a championship.
Yep.
Doug Collins gets fired, Phil Jackson wins a championship. Mark Jackson gets fired, Steve Kerr wins a championship. Like, you can that's definitely a model, right?
100%.
It's also a model. Thibodeau gets fired, Hoiberg gets hired, the team just drops out of the, you know, yep, craters, right? That's another one. In fact, when they left Minnesota, when he was fired in Minnesota, when he was fired in Chicago, they didn't elevate. They didn't, like, take you to a certain point and then someone else takes you over the hump. They crashed. And so that's also, it is an interesting question whether, and honestly, it applies to my Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, right? Like, do you, and some of this is, and they were talking about this on Sportsman, like, if Dan Campbell doesn't get the Lions to the Super Bowl, right? When you have taken over a historically bad franchise,
yep,
and you get them to where they're relevant and good and a factor and interesting and fun, are you so grateful, and should you be so grateful at what they've accomplished that you just don't move on because the alternative, particularly for you, has been misery, right? And so you saw all of those stats yesterday when it came to Thibodeau about how he has 24 playoff wins, the 17 that's 17 more than the previous 13 coaches combined.
Yeah.
So in the wasteland of...
I think he's the third winningest coach in franchise history. He's been there five years.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
So again, the previous 13 coaches had 7 playoff wins. He's had 24 combined.
Right.
He's had 24. And so you grade them on the, my God, this franchise has been pathetic. You elevated him. How could you possibly fire him? And I think that is what sort of happens. It's absolutely what people think about when it comes to Sean McDermott in Buffalo. Like, they look at, my God, the Bills were a joke for forever. But you can make the same argument that McDermott has taken him to here. If you really want a title, shouldn't you whack him and move on and hire a new coach?
See, I was thinking about it a little differently. What I was thinking about is, it's weird to me how in football we really do believe a coach.
That's true. We believe the coach matters.
Like, all of a sudden, a coach changes your entire outlook. It feels like in the NBA we really don't.
But what do we do with those histories that I just said? Nick Nurse.
But look at who everybody's hired.
Phil Jackson.
But look at every hiring this year was largely taking someone from the system that was an unproven assistant or unproven head coach, but was an assistant, been in the organization, and elevating that person. And honestly, what it kind of made me wondering was everyone did the assumption, okay, well, Malone's out there. Malone has a championship, elevates. Right. But I'm kind of looking at Thomas Bryant, or Johnny Bryant, beg your pardon. Like, all of a sudden, Phoenix is announced, like,
he's kind of the leading young guy.
Well, and then I started to wonder, it's like, are those two things related? He was on the Knicks staff. Like,
oh, no, it feels like.
Well, the other thing that we haven't even discussed is, like, do we know behind the scenes? Like, this could have been a player revolt. Like, if you look at it,
well, that's
Brunson was sulking.
To me, the other thing that's happening here, in addition, I actually credit them because I think they must know that the likelihood that they're going to look like geniuses here is not good, because in order to get to look like geniuses, you got to get to an NBA Finals.
Right.
They did it anyway, right? And they did it anyway.
And pretty quickly.
Even though they had to pay him another $30 million to go away.
Yeah.
Because his extension literally was just kicking in. I think the point you make is right, and I don't want to credit them with being a genius organization, But you heard all kinds of stories about discontent, player-only meetings. They started to come out in this last week. Player-only meetings, discontent, unhappiness with Cat. I mean, this is could be the second time, by the way, that Cat has gotten him fired.
Yeah.
Like unhappiness.
Also, Cat feels like...
Can't get Cat to
easily
guard.
Easily, like, the... like. Cat is in the Dylan Brooks category of like all-time easy guys to scapegoat.
That's right. But he also like he is bad at but here's the thing. So
I missed the part where he was the only one that was bad at defense.
But did it feel like to you that Thibodeau just had a limited roster and got everything he could out of it? Because it didn't to me. Like there are coaches. I mean, you mentioned Michael Malone. He's got some pretty indifferent defenders in Denver, and he works with it. He figures it out, right? Like, he won a title with it, right?
And I think the argument would be he didn't this year, and that's why he's fired.
Porter's a, yes, but Jokic is a mediocre at best defender, poor defender. Porter's a freaking horrible defender. Like,
Murray's
not a great defender, and they won a title. So you're saying, even though they assemble this collection of wings who's like, the best set of wing stoppers in the league, you can't figure out how to slow down Indiana. They couldn't figure out how to slow down. They were getting cooked. It didn't feel like to me like he had answers. And what's going to make it come up with answers between now and the end and next season? That it didn't feel like to me that's a team that overachieved. Bridges wasn't as I don't think yes, they did.
Well,
they beat Boston.
Boston. That's what I kept wondering about. So one of the theories of why the East in the LeBron era was so bad is because everyone focused so solely on we have to beat LeBron. And so everyone started to build rosters that they thought could beat LeBron. Spoiler alert, you couldn't beat LeBron when he was in his prime. The Knicks were so focused on beating Boston and building a roster that beat Boston. Like, think about how much we were praising Mikal Bridges the entire last series. Like, made the difference, all the defensive plays. Well, the problem is you don't just have to beat Boston, and Indiana presented a different problem than Boston did. And so you wind up in this spot of, like, are we also going to take back everything we said when they beat Boston? Like, is that's not a nothing burger?
No. It is not a nothing burger. And I like I said, I suspect they will look back at this era with great fondness because I don't think they will likely do better in terms of who will lead them.
It's why I think
Malone,
in the end,
talk
I think
about
this had
Hurley,
to be
Jay Wright. We'll see. It is interesting to me. I would think they'd have to go with an experienced head coach, but maybe not. Maybe Bryant's the guy. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk to John Martin when we return about all this. If you're selling your house, Josh Hyssa would be the person to call. 901-461-8147. Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Call them. Sit down with them. Let them walk you through it. I think you'll be persuaded. That's basically, I'll put it that way. Call them. Sit down. Talk with them. I think you'll be persuaded. It's 901-461-8147. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, lets you out of your contract at any time. And he'll make, if this is the way you want to go, he'll make a guaranteed instant cash offer at full market value for your home. That's the same convenience as all those other cash offers you're getting, but you'll walk away with more money in your pocket. It is Josh Hyssa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Back in a moment with John Martin, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you bought that Penny Hardaway jersey for $52,000, there's only one place to take to get it framed, and that is the Frame Corner. And that's true if you didn't buy the jersey for $52,000, but you have something else that you really love and that's important to you and that you want framed and hung in your office or your den or wherever it would be. Like whether it's maybe you got a hole in one and you want the golf ball and the scorecard like Sam Hardiman, then you go ahead and frame those. You go to the Frame Corner as Sam did. You have prints from your house, like my wife Claire from the house she grew up in, and she wanted to display them in our house. Took them to the Frame Corner. They've been doing it for 50 years. 50 years, expert custom framing. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Joined now by John Martin. Jason and John every single day from 11 till 2. John, do you consider it good news that we're number two in the nation in car thefts or bad news? We're not number one. That's San Francisco. That surprise you?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's not that many people in Memphis, you know? Like,
this is per capita, though. This is per capita.
Oh, is it per capita?
It's okay, per capita. Okay, per capita, we're number two.
I would have probably thought Memphis was one, but, you know, here's the reality. Like, to people on the outside, there is no tangible difference between being number two and number one in this stat.
Let's be honest. People on the inside, there's no tangible difference.
Correct. Yes.
Is there a tangible difference, though, down 30% each of the last 2 years? From the same insurance stats that we're paying attention to. And so I sort of think it's credible. That's good, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's good, but, I mean, my God. I mean, the rate, I mean, is outrageous, and you're still number two, and you're down 30%. I'm a victim. I'm a statistic.
When was your car stolen?
This was like 2006.
So what,
I don't know what the rate was back then.
Before I knew you. What happened?
Hold on.
You're a victim of a lot of things. Oh, yeah. We've told this story a million times.
Yes,
yours is not a car theft story.
No, I was a victim.
This is ridiculous. Your car theft story is the...
You're victim blaming.
Let's tell it. It is one of the all-time greats, John. Let's just tell it.
You're victim blaming.
I am 100% victim blaming. Like, normally you think, oh, I parked, you know, wherever, and I went to see a movie. This is what happened to me in Miami. Went to see, I think it was Braveheart, and we emerged from the movie, and the car is gone. And they're like, oh, hell. We left it here, right? And it's, yeah, and there it is, and there's a little some glass or whatever, and the car is gone. And that's a victim. Yours isn't. John, go ahead. How old were you at the time?
I don't know, probably 13, 12, 13.
And where are you living?
I don't know, like Sycamore View in Macon area.
Okay. And it was May?
I don't know if it was May. Remember the month.
Was it summer or was it a weekend?
It had to have definitely been the summer, yeah, because I was outside playing basketball.
Okay.
So it had to be, the weather had to be of the warmer ilk.
I love this story. This may be my all-time favorite John Martin story. There you are.
Basketball. You know, back then, you know, they had iPods, but we didn't have the money to have an iPod, right? So I was like, I wanted to listen to music while I was playing basketball. So what I did back then was, because a CD player would skip, you know, if you put it in your pocket and jumped around, you know.
Right.
So I would turn my mom's car, I would get her keys, I would turn the car on, and I would put in a CD player. A CD that I had burned into the CD player and blare it through the speakers, right?
This, by the way, is the way it was done in the old days. Like, it was not just you. It was commonly. I also grew up, you'd crank up the car radio, whatever, radio, CD, whatever, and you'd whatever you were doing, you could listen to it that way. Okay.
So, and that's what I did.
All right. So what do you think you were listening to? What might you have been listening to?
You know, it would have been whoever was, you know, the hot rapper at the time in 06,
okay.
You know.
And you're
them franchise boys,
yeah,
T4L.
Okay,
you know, I don't know, you know, I'm playing basketball. getting my basketball Jones on, you know, and up rides an older gentleman on a bike. Okay. He just kind of appears. He appears like he was dropped out of the sky. I've never seen him before. He's got a, like, he's got a beer, you know, but he walks up. He's
on a
up,
bike drinking a beer?
Mm-hmm. And he rolls up and he's like, yo, man, like, you care if I, you know, I shoot around? And like, what was I going to say? Like, no, get the hell out of here. Yeah. I mean, I said, yeah, come on, let's go. Let's do it. So we start, you know, playing around, shooting the ball, you know, and he eventually, like, you know, makes a stance, you know, and I know he's wearing pants. And I noticed that, long pants. And I noticed that on the cuff of his pants is the barrel of a gun. And I'm like, you know, again, I'm 12, 13 years old. It's not even occurring to me that I could be in danger. I say, hey, man, like, can you just put that somewhere so that I don't get, like, you know, Plaxico burst or something? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem, man. No problem. I got you. So he just takes it out of his cuff and just puts it on the side of the damn goal, like under a rock.
Yeah.
And you know, we play basketball, Jeff, for probably an hour and a half. And no incidents. Nobody gets shot or anything like that. And then at the end of it all, the sun's going down, and he's like, hey, man, we've been playing for so long. I'm thirsty, man. And I was like, you know, let me get this guy a drink. He's got to be thirsty. With the car running, with the music blaring. I go into the kitchen. I run in, about to get this guy a drink of water or whatever. Next thing I know, in the kitchen, I see headlights on the roof, on the ceiling. And I'm like, wait a minute, who's here? I thought somebody had pulled in first. And then it struck me that, oh, no, the Camry is backing up. The Camry is backing up out of the driveway. That's not good. So, I don't know what to do. So I start running after him. I don't know what I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm not going to catch him. But, you know, I go in there. I'm like, mom. Of course, I got to tell a story. I don't want to be like, yo, your mom, you know, your car just got stolen because I was in the kitchen. I was like, man, he just hit me in the back of the head.
You know? That's what you said? You told your mom that he hit you in the back of the head?
I had to get myself out of accountability for the situation, you know. He did steal the car. I mean, so, like, who cares if he catches an assault charge hypothetically along the way, you know. So, anyway, we called the cops, and amazingly, miraculously, and this was so important at the time for my mom and for our family, because we were paying a note on that vehicle, and we had, like, no money, right? They found the car in Greenbrook Apartments across the street, not damaged, not any kind of issues.
Same day? They found it same day? Next day?
Within an hour.
Oh, really?
Within an hour.
All right, so, as a victim amazing. Of car theft before it was cool, how did that make you feel?
It was really dumb. It wasn't like I was an idiot.
It was so dumb. Know?
And I really do think it was the last time that I blared the music out of the car stereo like that, for sure. I just said, F it. If it skips, it skips.
We're gonna tell that story once a year, whether people like it or not. Just the best story.
Oh, I wonder where that guy is right now. I wonder where he is.
They didn't catch him. They found the car, but they didn't catch the guy.
Yeah, he ditched the car. Amazingly, again, with the keys in it. Like that, like he just left the keys in it and
stick it for a little ride. Well, did he leave the bike, or did he load the bike in the car? Do you recall?
No, the bike was definitely left. He didn't have time to load the bike up. He did get the gun though.
He got the gun. He left the bike.
He left the bike, and he stopped at the gas cannoli. Station. And I'll never forget this detail. He had stopped at the gas station after stealing the car to get an Ice House beer.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That's maybe why he got caught, because he was just like, you know,
But he didn't get caught. He just left the beer.
That's why he had to abandon the vehicle.
Oh, you think he had to abandon? You don't think he just said, I've ridden this car long enough, or this car is not up to my standards, I'm going to leave it here.
No, it's because the cops had him, you know, were looking for it in the apartment.
I see.
You know?
That's good.
And I think that bought the cops
that's
a little
the
more time.
Fast-moving police. That's good, because he stopped for the Ice House beer.
That's right.
John, I haven't talked to you since, I don't think, since you wrote the column saying that PJ Haggerty is going to regret his decision, or he made a bad decision. And let me ask you this, because when someone leaves like that and the local media writes, they made a bad decision, it can feel like sour grapes. right? It can feel like, oh, come on, man. It's his life. He's making plenty of money. Like, it can feel like you're just. Were you kind? You know what I'm saying? Like, it can feel like that.
Yep.
Like the Tennessee fans hating on Nico. Nico did a bad decision. He's going to regret it. You know who's going to regret it? You're going to regret it when you're losing four SEC games this year, if that's the way it works out. Hopefully for Tennessee it does not. Was it sour grapes, John? And yeah, how do you parse that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. In this case, it didn't really matter to me whether PJ Haggerty like returned or not. It kind of felt like the hay was in the barn on that one. But you know, it's just I kind of came at that from a paternal instinct. You know, like not a fan instinct, but like son, you're free to do whatever you want to do, and I'll support you in that. But I think you're going to regret it. That's kind of how I wrote it. You know what I mean? Like I was talking to Dominic, like you left Penny Hardaway. You had an opportunity. You just had the best season of your career. You just had a season that was one of the best in America. You know, you were a consensus second team All-American, the first consensus All-American at Memphis since Chris Douglas Roberts in 2008. So undeniably, everything about this year went perfectly for you. You got the team. You helped lead the team to its best seed since Cal. You did something individually that hasn't been done since Cal. You know, this is you coming to Memphis was probably the best decision you've ever made in your life. And by the way, you went from making just under $1 million to having a $3 million offer on the table. So you tripled, you know, your annual salary, and that's life changing money in a real way. I mean, that could be generational. For PJ Haggerty, and probably the most money he will ever make in a single year playing basketball for his entire life. So, you know, I think I'm just coming at it from, look, he's going to be fine. He's going to make $2+ million playing at Kansas State and ultimately probably put up big-time numbers. But I just think when you have something good in life, and undeniably PJ Haggerty did, you know, you shouldn't take that for granted. You shouldn't take what a good situation. Maybe it's not perfect, you know, and it's not. I understand that. You play in the AAC. You feel like you're irrelevant for 2 months out of the season. I get it. But the tutelage of Penny and just being under his wing, I would almost say is priceless. And to see a young man kind of scoff at that, you know, for greener pastures that didn't even present themselves because of bad advice, that was just disappointing.
All right. Two other questions. Parth Upadhyay has projected the starting five. We got summer workouts beginning this week, and he's projected the following as the starting five for the Memphis Tigers this season. This is, you know, this is if Dane Danger doesn't come back. This is if the roster is what it looks like to be right now, okay? Doug McDaniel at point guard. Sincere Parker also starting, another guard. Zachary Davis, guard forward, starting. He's the South Carolina defensive player, that kid. Hassan Abdul-Hakim, he's the Texas Rio Grande Valley player. Something unfortunate happened, Jeffrey, John, an unfortunate kind of situation disrupted his season there. And then Aaron Bradshaw. Is that the starting five you would project given the players that they have right now? He had Thedford and Quante Berry and Curtis Givens and Ashton Hardaway all sort of coming off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what their other option would be right now. The only one that feels like it's necessarily up for grabs right now is that four spot. And it was weird. I actually had a guy tweet me the other day randomly and was like, if I was doing a draft of Memphis players, Abdul Hakim would be my number one pick, which I found very fascinating.
This is draft for players in college, to be college players. If you're having a draft of college players, to play in college.
Right. If he was just picking a, you know, from Memphis.
To start their college basketball team, they would start.
Abdul Hakim would be the first overall pick.
Did this guy seem like he knew what he was doing, or was his last name Abdul Hakim?
No. I mean, I think if you would dare tweet somebody something like that, you have to have some institutional knowledge about the situation. So, because this kid played at UT Rio Grande Valley, you know, it intrigues me. So I don't know a lot about him. I really don't. I didn't watch any
you know, Gabe has a crippling gambling problem. So he was talking about him all the, you know, he talked about him quite a bit on his show. There's no other reason that you would be watching UT Rio Grande Valley unless you're gambling on it, right? But I haven't seen him. But I'm intrigued by him. There must be something there, obviously, that maybe he comes in and surprises a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, I don't, short of a late addition, I don't think you really have any other options right now, unless you go Ashton at the four.
Penny Hardaway jersey. It was the Orlando Magic black striped jersey. Cool jersey. Number one. Beautiful thing. It was game worn preseason. I think 23 games and then a playoff, regular season games and then a playoff game. Went for more than $50,000. What jersey? Not because it's just the most valuable, the Honus Wagner or something, you know, the Babe Ruth or what. Like, what jersey? Because it would mean something to you if you had to spend $50,000 or $30,000 or whatever that was given to you to go buy a meaningful game worn jersey. What jersey do you want?
I know my answer. It's so stupid.
It's, well, John, but, we have the car theft story, so can't be stupider, more stupid
well,
than
not
that.
Not that dumb. Not yes, that dumb. Yeah. It would be Rich Gannon.
It would be Rich Gannon.
It would be Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon Raiders jersey.
Yep.
What, what did Rich Gannon? Were you a Raiders fan when Rich Gannon and he led him to lose a Super Bowl? Is that what he did?
Well, I mean, that's one way you could sort
was
of.
Was he MVP?
It. He was the oldest MVP in the history of the league in 2002.
How old were you?
I was 11 years old.
So 12, this was a meaningful Raiders run to you?
It was the first year I paid attention. It was the first year that I like watched the games and sought them out and was a real fan, you know, all those years ago, 21 years ago. And I just remember, like, it's just so funny how my sports fandom worked, because I became a Raider fan in 2002 when they went to the Super Bowl, okay? And I was like, man, I know they got crushed, but I was like, man, this is great. My quarterback's an MVP. I got the freaking GOAT at wide receiver, Jerry Rice. I got Tim Brown. I got all these mean defensive players, Rod Woodson, Bill Romanowski. Man, this is great. And then I remember the first years that I was like a conscious Memphis fan, I was like, oh, man, you know, Elite Eight, Conference USA Championship. Final Four. This is great.
The sports fandom is the best thing ever.
I love sports. And now I'm 33, about to be 34, and the Raiders have never sniffed a Super Bowl since. I think they've only made two playoff appearances since in 21 years. And the Tigers have not made a second weekend since. So I got duped, man.
It's Rich Gannon. I never would have guessed that in a million years. Was he great year? Who else was on that team? Jerry Rice was on that team. Was Marcus Allen still? No.
Gannon won the MVP that year.
Gannon was
he?
MVP. He just said, yeah, he was MVP, the oldest MVP in the history of the league. That was a Gruden team?
No, it was not Marcus Allen.
So
it was
Gruden.
Charlie Garner.
Gruden.
It was,
that was the
Charlie
year that,
Garner?
That's the year Gruden got traded to the Bucks.
Yes.
And the Bucks beat them. And remember the center like went to Tijuana before the Super Bowl?
Yes. Barrett Robbins, I think was his name. I think that was his name.
I covered that Super Bowl. Yeah.
Those Raiders, man, Tyrone Wheatley. Who can forget Tyrone
Michigan,
Wheatley?
Michigan's own Tyrone
Michigan,
Wheatley.
Man.
Charlie Garner 100%. Was a Tennessee guy, wasn't he? Charlie Garner, I think, played for Tennessee.
I love Charlie Garner. We had Gary Porter at wide receiver. Man,
those
I love that Raiders team.
The teams that you loved when you're 11 are the teams that are burned forever into your heart. Right now, it's funny. Tim Buckley from the Daily Memphian is also from Buffalo, and we have a code to get into the Daily Memphian offices. And he just came up. He said, "If you ever have a hard time remembering the code, O.J. Simpson, Rene Robert." Oh, okay, that's good. Got that. They were 11. Well, that's when I was 11, so there you go. John, thanks very much. Appreciate it, man.
I enjoyed the opportunity gave me.
Yeah, to tell that story one more time. It's an oldie but goodie. I went the other day to Ragin' Cajun, which is that New Orleans restaurant that I've been telling you about out in Bartlett, and it was absolutely fabulous. It's a, well, first of all, like I live in East Memphis and it took me, you know, 12 minutes to get there. It took me no time at all to get there. And it's as it was described to me by Mason Chambon, who owns the place, it's sort of a neighborhood feel. And as soon as you drive up to it, you're like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's got a great patio, People having a good time out on the patio. We actually sat inside. And then among the highlights, got an oyster po' boy, really good oyster po' boy. There was a crawfish queso, which I never would have thought to order, but was suggested, which was just great. And the white chocolate bread pudding, and I am a bread pudding expert, fantastic, fantastic. But it's a great place to get New Orleans food. All the favorites. It's got a fun vibe, and so give it a try. It's right out there, in Bartlett. Head on out. It's 2740 Bartlett Road, or you can look up online. Check out the menu at Cajun901.com. That's Cajun901.com. It is Ragin' Cajun.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.